This is the Saddled Stallion podcast, where men are equipped and encouraged to understand their wiring, clarify their mission, and find purpose along the path to its fulfillment. I'm your host, Chad Kanier, and I'm stoked to have you here. Let's roll. Hello, friend. Wait. What makes you a friend? What makes you a friend? You're listening to the podcast right now, but what makes you a friend? Am I saying, hey, friend, to connect with you, to make you feel comfortable? Is that why I'm saying that? What makes us friends, genuine friends? I think no one knows anymore what a friend is. I'm 32 years old. I'm a millennial. Damn millennials. I love when people say stuff like that. We grew up online, right? Like, I remember when MySpace was getting cool. I was in high school, maybe middle school. I don't know. My profile was friggin' dope, though. You went on there and like a, it was a hard rock song. I had like a punk phase. Don't ask. But it started soft. I'll never forget. And I had like the great like customized colors. And there was like a table, like 30 things you don't like know about me. You know, like I was killing it on MySpace in my mind. Then there was Facebook, which is like college, right? Like that's what I think about when I think of Facebook. I think of college, not only because it started in college with Zuckerberg and all that with the movie, but because I was in college and because Tom was my first friend, right? Like, and then it just, everything exploded from there. Then our parents got on social media, which was like the beginning of the end. Like, if you compare Facebook now to where it was originally, it is just so lame. Like, Facebook originally was just simple, clean. I mean, it helped that it was revolutionary at the time, right? It was really cool. But it is just the worst now. I mean, have you been on Facebook? Have you seen how many features are on Facebook and how many groups are on Facebook? It's just completely overwhelming. Anyway, we grew up in this social media sphere, right? Like this is just woven into our social fabric now. And I know that there is a lot of data coming out proving that we are like addicted to social media and that it leads to clinical depression and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, like shocker, right? But it really has gotten completely out of control. It is addictive, but I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about the implications it has had on our genuine relationships and even going deeper, our notion of relationship, our notion of community, what we think of when we think of the word friend. I think that social media has redefined friendship for us and not in a positive way. I have three examples from my own personal life, me and my wife's personal lives, that exhibit three things that I'm seeing happen because of our hyper-connectivity online. It's almost like there's this other domain of society that kind of rests above us, like it's up in the air. And there's all this like stuff happening on the earth, you know, like real stuff where we touch things and we like drink things and we have conversations and like I hear the words coming out of your mouth and they enter into my earlobes and I process the information with my brain. And then there's this whole other stratosphere. There's a lot more activity. There's a frenzy of activity in this other world. And we spend so much time there and there's so much activity there and it's so engaging there that the characteristics and the constructs of that domain are inevitably permeating this actual domain where we're talking and I'm drinking and stuff like that. We don't even realize it's happening, but it's changing the way we relate to one another. And there are three examples of this, and I'm very troubled by these things. It's honestly a feeling of brokenheartedness. I feel like we're losing our sense of humanity here. And these are personal stories. Now, I've made the names anonymous and stuff like that. But I think I'll have to share enough information about the relationship so that you can understand the wounds that are associated with the behaviors that I'm seeing, if that makes any sense. So let me just show you and not tell you. Number one is a cousin of mine who I've lost touch with over the last probably 10 years. We had one or two summers where he actually lived with my family. And for just a variety of reasons, our families weren't close. But we always really hit it off. Like, we both played sports. I love this guy. We have a lot of fun together. We were kind of in that, honestly, douchebag phase of life when we spent those summers together. And even though all the activities weren't great, we had great moments and we did pure like things together too. It's not like we were just out like heathening, you know what I mean? Like, we did yard work together and we talked about life and we talked about girls and we talked about goals and we talked about where we wanted to live when we grow up. And then, you know, life happened and we moved away and our families had a little bit of conflict. And so that was an additional excuse probably for us to not stay in thick contact. My other cousin recently passed away, and I actually have an episode that where I detail that and what I'm learning through that. It's been a very humbling experience, but I don't want to share too much of that now. It's just not appropriate yet. But anyway, when you lose a cousin who you've kind of lost touch with, another male cousin, you think of your other cousins and you ask yourself, you know, if they were gone or if I passed, would I be happy about where that relationship rested, right? And my answer with this guy is no. Like, I want more from this relationship. I miss him. We have a good thing. It's not like we're mad at each other or anything like that, but I think it's just a mix of convenience and geographical separation and all that jazz. And so I reached out to him, and we're both like kind of reflecting on the loss of our cousin because it's the same side of the family. And I'm like, I'd love to get on the phone with you and just like reconnect with you. And listen, when people die, this happens, right? Like, we try to reach out, and I can understand why it could come across as like, oh, okay, like we lost a cousin and now you're trying to get me on the phone for the first time in 5 years. That's kind of ding, ding, ding. I know what you're doing. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yes, I'm trying to reconnect with other cousins. Yes, I could have loved my other cousin who we just lost. I could have loved him better. I don't want to make the same mistake again. So this is me pursuing something different with you. And his response was, I'm not mad about it, but he's like, oh, I listened to your recent podcast, and you might be listening now, man. And I love you, by the way. This is not this, but there is something going on. And I'm like, thank you for like listening to my recent podcast, but I want like a relationship with you. You know what I mean? It happened about a year ago. I was putting out a lot of content. I was marketing a business and I was trying to work with professional athletes and building some relationships with former professional athletes. And we had a podcast and stuff. That's where I learned about all podcasting and stuff. And that eventually fell flat, but I learned a lot from it. And anyway, when I was putting out a lot of that content originally, one of my buddies on a phone call or at a wedding or something out in Seattle where I'm from was like, hey man, like, I just want you to know, I follow all your content. I just love what you're doing. And that's so cool, man. And it was encouraging, but it was also like, it's like, I don't want to just be connected with people via my podcast. That's not why I'm doing this. Okay. I'm not like, hey, like, let me just put out a message weekly and then no one call me and like, we're good. Right. That's like a one-way street and it's not a relationship. I feel like our generation thinks that as long as your voice is in my ear, or as long as your pictures are in front of my eyes, or as long as your kid is on my Facebook feed, we're like connected and we're living in each other's lives and we're friends and we're following each other and it actually means something. And that's the undertone of the remaining examples. But guys, what's happening there is that he wants to tune in, but he doesn't want to talk. He wants to listen. Maybe even he values my perspective on things. Maybe he hates my perspective on things. Maybe he just wants to know what's going on in my crazy brain and like, sorry to show you every week, but I want to like talk. I want to know what's going on in your life. I want to know what your fears are. I mean, eventually, not conversation number one. I want to know, hey, you think about getting married? Oh, cool. Here's some things I've learned about marriage, by the way, and not just stuff I'm going to share on my podcast. I'm not going to share everything on my podcast that I would share in an intimate relationship with you. And I want to learn what's going on. I can't speak specifically into your situation like I could in a one-on-one conversation on my podcast. And so anyway, that's something that it's an example of our culture, and what we're doing is we're saying, I get a little nibble of what you're putting out there, and that must be what you're all about, and that's kind of all I really want or have time for. And like a relationship with you, I don't really know about that, but I'm going to tune into your next podcast. What? That is not my goal here. The goal of my podcast, honestly, is to reach people that are not in my world, like I would never run across people in Ethiopia, people in, like, I'm not going to run into Ethiopian dwelling humans in Roanoke, Virginia, where I am right now. I want to reach people that I never otherwise would have been able to reach, not use a podcast to create a shell around myself and like check a bunch of family boxes. And I'm like connected because they listen to my audio. No. In fact, I welcome feedback from family members and friends based on where our relationship is on this podcast. Is it helping you? Now, I will take your feedback into consideration, but I will also weigh it against the probable reality that other people who I'm not connected with, maybe people from different backgrounds, seeking different things, seeking different answers, really need to hear things that maybe you deem completely erroneous or completely insignificant. And maybe I'm just not called to speak to you. Maybe I'm not called to encourage and equip you as a man or a woman. I'm called to equip a different group, and I hope that's okay with you. Hey guys, you might already know this, but I am not in the business of providing a random message to a random audience. I am in the business of providing meaningful, impactful messages to those seeking more purpose in life. I need your help to do this. I'm inviting you right now to engage in a dialogue with me and to send me ideas, send me thoughts, send me questions, send me issues that you're struggling with that I can speak about on this podcast. Go to my website, chadcanyer.com. It's my name, .com. Go to the contact page, fill out a form. I will get an email, and I pledge to get back to you within a week and engage in a dialogue around that topic. I cannot guarantee that I will speak on that on the air because I might be the dumbest guy in the world on that subject, but God knows I will do my very best to engage with you and to provide value, not just to you, but to every single listener, because that is why I'm doing this. Help me make this more purposeful. Number two is actually something that happened with my wife. We got married, that happens, and one of the females in the wedding party sent us an interesting text message while we were on our honeymoon, really just slamming my wife for how excluded she made this bridesmaid feel throughout the entire ordeal. And the conclusion of the text message was, have a nice life. That person was in my wedding. And we were like, whoa, we're in Belize having like our first drink after like a long day of travel. And we had just gotten Wi-Fi. You know how international you're like, where's the Wi-Fi? And it's like, the whole point is to freaking get away, you know? And you're like, where's the Wi-Fi? Just so sad. But that was like the first thing my wife read. And she's like, oh my gosh, like this sucks. Like, I don't want to, first of all, it sucks that she felt that way. Second of all, who the hell sends that when the wedding you were just in, like, that bride's now on her honeymoon? Like, really? Timing is pretty important. And they were friends. They were, like, really good friends. I mean, again, she was in our wedding. And we had a small wedding party. And so it's just, like, one of those things. And guess what? So we've been married coming up on 6 years. Recently, she's, like, following my wife on Instagram. The way Danny works is she literally has, I think, like, 40 people follow her, and she probably follows like 25 people. She's one of those people who, like, she's not connected to everybody. She's connected to like her circle. Her circle online is her circle in life. It's actually very commendable because there's like no vanity about it. She's just like, unless I actually know you, why would you want to see pictures of my life, my kids? And she's also big on this whole, like, someday our kids might not want to look online and see that there's been 1,000 photos of them placed online before they even had their own choices. You know what I mean? That's kind of messed up. And she's got a good point. But that was so weird to us. You want to follow us on Instagram to confirm that we are having a nice life after you told us, have a nice life. And by the way, she responded right then with something like loving. She's not going to get into it with her while we're in Belize. And I'm like, honey, like, not while we're here. But something along the lines of like, I'm really sorry you feel that way. I hope you can forgive me. I hope we can try to work through this when we get back from our honeymoon, hashtag honeymoon. I value our friendship kind of thing. Really weird. Like, that is acceptable to some people. But guys, think about it. Just about 50 years ago, and we've been around for a long time, okay? 50 years ago, you could not walk up to somebody and be like, you hurt my feelings, have a nice life. And then like 2 years later, follow behind them and just, I want steady information on your life. If you want a restored relationship with me, it's very, very simple. Call me, text me, arrange a call, whatever. Say you want to meet for coffee. Express yourself maybe in a healthy manner, not over a text message after 4 years of being a friend. Grow up. But guys, that's our world now. We can do whatever we want online, right? We can post it. It's right when it comes into our brains. It goes through our body, into our fingers, onto our social media accounts. We don't even have to filter it right there. Smart people do. A lot of us don't. It's out there, it's immediate, and if people don't like it, they can shove it, and we just have it all together, and then we just merrily walk along like there's no implications of our actions or words. And to be fair, a lot of what we get, of what we put out there, gets drowned out in the sea of content and information and opinion and la-da-da-da-da-da that is going on, and so we don't feel like what we say matters. What we say to each other matters. What we text to each other matters. Okay, question. 50 years ago, we could only write letters and stuff to each other, right? Would you write letters that say the things that you text to people? Like, if you had to go down to the depot or whatever, I mean, they had mailboxes. I'm probably being a little dramatic there. Would you mail a letter to your mother and place the same things in that letter that you are sending via a text message? I mean, I know that the culture has changed, okay? I'm not saying that, like, every text should start with, like, dear mother. Like, I'm not saying that. But I know we are really underestimating the value of our words and the impact of our words. You cannot say, have a nice life, and then follow that person and have a clean conscience. You should not be able to. We are so connected that we are not connected. Like, we are so plugged into each other's, we are so tuned in, I should say, into each other's lives that we are not tuning in with each other. We are not on the same wavelength at all. And that's dangerous, guys. We're not listening to each other, and you're probably not listening to other people because you don't feel like what you say matters. Well, let me tell you, what you say and what you don't say matters. Watch your words. And when you mess up, because you will mess up, apologize. That is so freaking rare these days. Just say you're sorry. Be a grown-up. And so what did we learn from that situation? Some people just want to watch, but they don't want to do the work. They just want to watch from the gallery, but they don't want to do the work. And you have to wonder why they want to be involved, but not really be involved. Something inside that girl feels bad or wants a relationship with my wife. And I really hope, like, I'm not just here to criticize, okay? Because we all have these things inside of us that prevent us from opening up, prevent us from saying sorry, okay? We're humans. We make mistakes. That's like our MO, okay? I really, really hope that they can have a restored relationship one day. My wife has done her leg of the work. In fact, she saw that she was following her and she reached out yet again and said, hey, like, what's going on in your life? I'd love to know you. No response. And she saw that the girl saw it. No response. What the hell? What the hell? I mean, that is a resentment issue. I've apologized now twice and there's just no willingness to meet me there. There's a hardness of heart happening there. That's probably what's contributing to that scenario. But guys, we have to look at ourselves. Where could that be contributing in your lives? Where are you watching from afar and not being willing to do the work to have a real relationship with that person? Guys, it's worth it. If it's worth following that person, it's worth doing some work. Everything that we work on, everything that causes pain to us, the reward is greater. Napoleon Hill, every failure carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. What short-term failure do you need to work through to reap a bigger reward on the other side? There's nothing better than a restored relationship. It's way better than the original relationship. It's way stronger than the original relationship. It's real. It's based on truth and transparency and humility. Don't we want that? We don't care. I don't really care because I can follow you. You can follow me and contribute to my numbers that mean nothing. We can stay connected without having community. Third situation is near and dear. These are family members as well, even closer. I won't go into details. They'll say whatever the hell they want. They will go way below the belt. Now, listen, I just finished reading Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. Highly recommend. He's a good guy. He's very transparent. He's very raw. He's very open-minded. He's a hustler, very introspective, very intelligent man. I have a lot of respect for Matthew McConaughey, and I love the guy. But anyway, one theme in his book that really stuck out is his childhood. It was like pretty rough. Like, not rough. It was full of love. His parents were jacked up creatures, but they knew it. They admitted it, but they were tough. Like, his dad would like legit beat him up. His mom and dad got divorced and remarried three times. Like, they're just volatile human beings. But they know they are, you know, and they're sinners and they're flawed, but they believed in God. And like, honestly, the people who believe in God the most are the people who know they need God the most. Because let's be honest, we're all super jacked up. We're fooling ourselves if we think we don't need a God and a savior and redemption to the one who created us. Really rough childhood. And from that, I learned that it just made him tough and made him resilient. I don't know if they modeled healthy, like, reconciliation in their family. I don't know if it went like this. Someone gets worked up, says something, does something, you know, it gets ugly. And the next day there's a conversation on the couch in which even the dad or the mom or whoever instigated or whoever didn't instigate, just anyone. I don't know if there was healthy dialogue around, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry. That's not the man I want to be. And will you please forgive me? Because that's what I want to model in my home. And we do that. My wife and I, we fight. We're not as crazy as the McConaughey parents, but we're pretty nutty at times, okay? You guys know me well enough because you're listening to my podcast, so you know me so well. Anyone who actually knows me, it is going to say, oh yeah, there's some fights in the can in your house. Because Danny, she's got a freaking mouth on her, man. And I got a mouth on me, and I'm trying to learn to be better and to love and to serve and to be humble. But my gosh, my humanity gets in there, right? My humanity, my pride gets in there. And so, guys, the deal is I mess up, and Danny messes up. And what we've made a commitment to, though, is, hey, no matter what, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, we get in front of the kids and we reconcile together in front of the kids. My kids are 5, 3, and 1, okay? Not even 1. So they don't know what the hell is going on. But they do in a way, right? They're seeing humility. They're seeing repentance. They're seeing what it takes to have a healthy, restored relationship. And we, you know, we got to be careful also. We're not creating a culture where you can do anything and say sorry on the couch and it all goes away. You need to see change in that person's behavior. You need to see effort. You need to see commitment. You need to see genuine humility, which requires effort and work and time. But hey, if I can start by being like, hey, I want them to see me repent as a man and say, hey, I messed up, I think I'm a pretty good dad in that moment. And I'm going to go with that. I don't know what it is. I think my family, my family of origin, my parents and my sisters, we believe in that model. We believe in the importance of saying sorry. We believe in the truth. You messed up, fess up, be a man, be a woman, grow up, admit it, you will be forgiven. Because we have to have grace with one another. But I think something's missing in that formula. And over time, the forgiveness piece of it, that was always celebrated, but the reconciliation was not there because no one ever actually admitted they needed to be forgiven for anything. It was just kind of like, hey, forgiven. And so, I don't know, it's kind of like, well, that's not genuine. Then you end up just resenting people for things because you've never felt like they've actually acknowledged how jacked up they were. And the anger and the frustration and the words and the backlashes and the cut downs just go on and on and on. And there's never like a come to Jesus moment where you're like, I can't talk like that. Anyway, but they want you to show up to the event. Like they want you to show up to the next birthday party and they want you to come to the wedding and they want you to go on a trip to celebrate something. And they want the picture on Facebook. Like they want the family portrait. And this part of it really breaks my heart. Because what they want is they want all the colors of our relationship, my reds and their greens and their blues and my yellows, to get shipshape and to get dolled up and to go to their rightful places and to manifest into this beautiful portrait that is exhibiting this healthy external family to the world. It's on social media, it's on our walls, it's this portrait. And I am a big believer in the portrait too, but you know what I'm a bigger believer in is like the colors underneath all of that being true. And my yellows clashing with your reds and us finding a way to make that orange and it's okay. That's not the way it works. And so they want that portrait, but they're not willing to let go of the pride to say, hey, we really messed up. And it's so simple. And that, I do believe, is a symptom of what's happening in our society right now. It is this weird sense of our, like the actual connection between me and you, our ability to acknowledge our differences and respect our differences and apologize for where we misstepped and hurt you and to listen to those things and to care. All of those things I just mentioned are strengths in a relationship. We're treating them like the cheap, boring, ugly stuff that we can just avoid. That is the relationship. The relationship is not the freaking connection between you and them on a social media platform that, by the way, is designed to keep you on the platform so that advertisers can make money by marketing products to you while you're on the platform. It is a fake world. That stratosphere I described earlier, it is ruining the real stratosphere, the here and now, the relationship, the equity, the understanding, the ability to hear someone's opinion without being so freaking flagrantly frustrated that you have to just blurt out your opinion and you act like an ignorant fool because that's what you can do online. We're training our brains to go emotion, thought, emotion, thought, emotion, thought. comment, thought, comment, thought, comment, thought, comment. Don't really care about the implications. Oh, you're oversensitive. Oh, well, you'll never understand me. It's not a relationship. It's not a community. It's not freaking real. I don't want to yell at you guys. I yelled a little bit in the last one. I told myself to relax, okay? But I just hate this, guys. Following your content, Chad. Oh, I'm listening to your podcast, Chad. Dude, what? Don't listen to my podcast. You know what's really greater than my podcast? The stuff, the time where I respond to something you said in like a conversation. Like, you know, because it's like for you, not for the world, you know? Here's another thing that happens here. It's a symptom. What do you need? And this is the whole boomerang buddies thing, right? There are some people who I just feel like they kind of come around every once in a while and they drop in and they're like, what's up, man? How's life? And I'm probably one of them. I do this too. Like, we do this. But it's hard not to see. Like, some people just need something every time they reach out to you. I don't like that I think that way. This is what social media has done to us, right? I'm connected with my friend Eric online. There is no Eric. Okay, I'm creating this. I'm connected with a guy named Eric online. We went to high school together or whatever. I might drop a comment here and there. Oh, cute kids. Oh my God, she looks just like you. Like the most generic things ever. And so when he reaches out to me, my default mode is like, what do you need? You must need something beyond the placebo relationship we have online, right? So it must be a need. And it's okay to have needs, right? Like my friend Taylor and I connected recently and he's asking about certain areas in Texas where he wants to live. That was actually 2 years ago, but I was thinking about Taylor because I was texting him earlier. Taylor used me to gather information on where he wanted to live in Texas. Totally normal. I liked being needed in that moment and it was a way for us to connect on other things. And it's okay. I'm not against those phone calls. I'm against the very notion that because we're already all connected, when we receive a letter from someone now, it's like, oh God, what do you need? That's not how relationships are supposed to be. You know what I need when I reach out to you? A friend. I need encouragement. I need perspective. I need some accountability because I can't stop watching porn. I need insight into your life because maybe something that you recently navigated can speak into my situation that I'm in now, or maybe a situation that I'm going to be in within the next 6 months. And I don't even realize how your situation might connect to my future situation, but I need to be ruminating in your world a little bit to realize that A, it's not all about me, and B, I might be able to glean something from you, you know, like a relationship that I could use in the future. Do you have that with people? Guys, that's the good stuff. That is the real stuff. The real life is seeing the little connection points between Trevor's story and Danny's story and Susie's story and be like, oh my God, that's so interesting. I went through that 6 months ago. Also, here's what I learned from that. Oh man, I was really humbled through this. Hey, don't make this mistake. Community. You don't get that online. That, sitting around a table, drinking wine, having life together and opening up and explaining the good and the bad and the ugly and the real, that's not hitting like and saying she looks like your wife. We're connected to everybody and nobody at the same time. How come we're so lonely, guys? Because we're so connected online that we don't need to be connected on our day-to-day. It's the illusion of connectivity. I'll speak in another episode about the illusion of insufficiency, that constant voice that tells you, you're not good enough, you're not going to make it, not for you. By the way, it's never going to happen. Keep trying, LOL. That's an illusion. It's not real. So two questions for you that I honestly am asking myself, and I don't like the results. Number one is, who do you boomerang back to? Just try to think of one person where you're like, yeah, every 6 months I do go back to them. And based on the conversations with them, based on how you approach it and when you approach it and all that jazz, all the details, if you were them, what would you think you want when you boomerang back? How do you think your efforts to reconnect with them, even if genuine, are perceived based on the timing and the tact of how you boomerang back? Number two, who are you following right now on social media? Whose podcast are you listening to where you're not on good terms with that person? Whose pictures are you looking at that, you know, you told to F off 2 years ago? Why? Why do you think you're doing that? Could there be something in your soul that feels guilty about maybe something that was said? Could you do a little bit of work? Guys, it's not hard. All you have to do is admit you're a human. And you're not signing up for some deeper obligatory relationship. You're just making things right. That's all you're doing. Hey, I've been like following you, and that's weird given the fact that I was like a total dick to you 2 years ago. Can I just say I'm sorry? You know, I was going through a lot at the time, but those aren't excuses. Like, that's an explanation, but it's not an excuse. I just want to know that we're good. Can you forgive me? Oh, cut the portrait crap. True colors. Let's let our true colors out and be okay with others' true colors. And where they clash, we've got to be willing to do the work. We've got to be willing to let our pride die so that we can have connectivity. That is the real stuff. Don't be a boomerang. Don't be a follower. Be a buddy. Be a friend. Be a real friend. Be there when it's not convenient for you. Be there when you don't want or need anything. That is when the good stuff comes to the surface. Thanks for listening to the Saddled Stallion podcast. That's it, guys. Be strong, be humble. Walk in purposeful manhood.